You lead us and guide us into all truth. And you bring to mind the things that Jesus said. And so we welcome you here tonight to do that in our midst. Lead us and guide us, each one of us, into deeper understanding of eternal truths. Holy Spirit, be the Spirit of wisdom and revelation here tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the angelic beings that surround this place. Jesus, Father, we thank you for them. And we come into agreement with your purposes for them being here tonight. And we release them to do the work that you have for them in this place. To guard us and protect us from every wile of the enemy. And to bring wisdom, to bring revelation, to minister to us, because they're ministering spirits sent by you. So, Father, right now, I release in this place spirit of wisdom and revelation. Come fill this atmosphere. Come work in us from the Spirit of God and the kingdom of heaven within us. Rise within us. Fill us with revelation and give us the wisdom and understanding that we need to partner with you in releasing heaven into earth tonight. Amen. Amen. Ooh, fun, fun. Well, I hope it's going to be a fun night for you. It's going to be a fun night for me. So, you know. Yeah, as you can see, we're looking at accessing the throne room tonight in prophecy and intercession. And this is in some ways following on. For those of you that are rabid note takers, there will be notes available to you at the end. So you don't have to go, she's going too fast, I can't take it down. Because there'll be notes there for you. So looking at accessing the throne in heaven in prophecy and intercession. We're going to look first at Old Covenant and church history. You're going to go, oh, seriously? But got to understand it to be able to understand where we are in the New Covenant. Ezekiel 22:30 said, I looked for anyone to repair the wall and stand in the gap for me on behalf of the land, so I wouldn't have to destroy it. But I couldn't find anyone. In the Old Testament, Old Covenant, there was always a human mediator, a leader, priest, or prophet. Abraham, Moses, Nehemiah, Job, etc. And this verse is one of the pivotal foundational verses that we base our intercession on. So we need to understand. We read that verse today and think we're called to stand in the gap and intercede, and that God has a special calling for some to be his intercessors. Let's kill that cow. Newsflash, the gap has been filled. Jesus filled it. Christians are not the gap filler any longer because Jesus accomplished that. Isaiah 59, I didn't have room to put all the notes up, but I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 59:16 says, and he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him and his righteousness upheld him. God himself stepped into the gap in the form of Jesus and became the gap filler. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator or intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Romans 8:34 says, who then is this one who condemns? No one. Take note of that. Who has the power to condemn you as a Christian? No one. Satan doesn't have that power. And we're going to cover that as we go on through. Yeah, I promised I wasn't myself, I wasn't going to go there. But have a think about the whole courts of heaven thing. How does it actually stack up to what Jesus has done? Satan doesn't have the right any longer to even accuse you. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'll explain that a bit later, but I'm not going to do much on that. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In the New Testament, we discover that we are no longer the primary mediator between God and man. Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit carries on that work in the earth today. So intercession is continually made for man in both the heavenly and earthly realms. And in saying this, I'm not saying we don't have a role. Please don't hear that. But we must understand what our role is, because otherwise we'll pray wrongly. When you look in the New Testament, there's only two intercessors recorded, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. No other intercessors are recorded in the New Testament. So when it comes to New Testament or New Covenant intercession, we are invited, because we are in Christ, we are invited to join them in their intercession. It's no longer our responsibility, but I'm getting ahead of myself there. Yay, another man. Sorry, for those of you that are listening to this on the recording, there's only a few men in the building, so it was just exciting that another one came in. Okay, so this is our new covenant foundation for all intercessory prayer. Jesus, as part of the Godhead himself, became the man who stood in the gap for all mankind. He is the mediator and intercessor. And because he knows the heart and mind of the Godhead and still says what he hears the Father say and does what he sees the Father do, his intercession is at all times prophetic. So New Covenant intercession is prophetic intercession. He prays and speaks the will of God into situations. Then when he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to be here with us, to intercede for us and through us. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he prays with us and he prays for us. This is a quote that won't be in your notes, unfortunately, because I had to put the notes onto two bits of paper. But this is Elia Delio. Prayer is an invitation to grow in love. As we grow into God's life grows in us. We are reborn in the Spirit through the power of love, and thus we enter into the chaos and uncertainty of the world. Love does not retreat from suffering and pain, but enters into the darkness of life with energy and hope that the future will be different. Love creatively empowers life toward more life. To grow in love through prayer is to throw ourselves into the heart of God. Only when we can weep at what is not yet loved can we live into a new reality, for love is waiting to be born. This is the heart of prayer. So he is the mediator, and the Holy Spirit carries on the work in the earth today. So therefore, the pressure is off us. If you feel a burden and a pressure when you intercede, maybe it's because you haven't really grasped the truth of this, that he's the burden bearer. He's the intercessor. You don't have to bear a heavy yoke of religious expectation or duty. And when we understand that we join Christ in his intercession and his victory by coming into agreement with what he's disclosed to us, both in scripture and personal revelation to us, we understand the burden is not ours to bear. It is his. Therefore, any intercession we're involved with in him becomes an easy yoke, not a hard, heavy one. What gap can you or I fill that Jesus isn't already standing in? This has been playing in my head over and over and over, this statement, for the last couple of weeks. What gap can we fill that Jesus isn't already there filling? You know? See what else I've got here. Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is the gap filler and the burden bearer, not us. So this relates to our prophecy as well as to our intercession. Instead of being our responsibility, which it was under the old covenant, in the new covenant, prophetic intercession becomes part of our inheritance in Christ and our privilege. We get the privilege of entering in with Christ and the Holy Spirit in their intercession, what their heart is, what their desires are, what they're wanting to release into earth. And we get to come into agreement with them and be the voice in earth that releases that into the earth. It's so exciting. Oh. I hope that you can see how exciting this is. And because Christ lives in us, we can access the mind of Christ anytime and have constant access to the way he prays. Joining Christ and Holy Spirit in their prophetic intercession is part of letting them live through us. And it's for all God's children. And I'm going to go after another little religious thing right now. In the new covenant, there's no such thing as a gift of intercession. It's not in the gifts list anywhere. There is no special group called intercessors. It's not in the fivefold list. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, intercessors. Misses that one out. Why? Because it's for all of us. We all have access to the mind and heart of Christ and are invited to join them in releasing into earth what their heart and their plans are. We are called to pray and act as ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because our faith-filled words and actions provide a son or daughter for God to move through here and now. We are a channel for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are some people who will get more intercessory assignments from Jesus than other people, but it doesn't mean they have a special gift or they're a special category of people. It's just that that's the assignment he gives those people. Some of us are given other assignments. So those assignments may be short-lived or they may be a lifelong calling. And a lifelong assignment. There are many times when I've ministered in a church and then after I've ministered, God said, this church is now an intercessory assignment for you, and I've carried them in my heart. Sometimes for years. And sometimes it's like that with people as well. And in saying this, it doesn't negate, if you're a person who has an intercessory list that you pray through, it doesn't negate that. It just means this is your foundation. And this is where you get to operate from. And it's glorious. Oh, it is. There's a lot of my prophetic words that have become long-term intercessory assignments. For one, many years ago, and this is a vision that many people have seen, I saw a wave standing off the shore of New Zealand, big, tall wave. And I'm like, okay, it's just standing there. Why isn't it breaking? Come on, you know? And then a few years later, I began to carry that in intercession. God, I'm praying for the breaking of this wave. A few years later, I saw the same vision again, but this time the wave was filled with people. And I said, God, why is the wave suddenly filled with people? He said, because it's not all up to the Holy Spirit. It's a partnership between me and my people. And together, in partnership, we will break across this land and we will flood this nation with the goodness of God. But I won't do it just by myself. I won't do it without my children. Another time, I saw in a vision, and it was like an old-fashioned black and white movie, you know, before sound, except that it had sound and it was all crackly. And it was a long line of Maori people, and they were wearing korowai, but except of it being beautiful, you know, korowai, it was sackcloth. And they were walking across the land and they were wailing because of the injustices that had been done. And as they walked across the land, I understood that these were generations because they disappeared into the land. And as they disappeared, the sound was silenced in many ways, except the land itself began to cry with them. And then it went silent, and I'm like, what was that all about, God? You know? And then I heard this child's laughter. And I'm like, what? Like, I mean, I've just watched this tragic scene and now there's this beautiful, pure child's laughter coming out of the land. And I saw Maori and Pākehā and Indian and African and all sorts of kids popping up out of the land and playing together in harmony. And the sound of laughter began to fill the land. And that became an intercessory assignment for me from that moment on. That instead of the sound of grief and wailing, our land would be filled with the sound of childlike faith and laughter as people come to know Christ. We intercede from a place of victory and seated authority in Christ to establish God's will in the earth, not begging God for victory. Then Christ made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Can I pose something to you to think about? Jesus didn't just die for you, he died as you. He took you into himself, he took all mankind into himself on the cross, and he died as us, as mankind. All of us took our sins into himself. That means possibly, and this is something to have a think about and ask God to give you revelation on, when he descended into hell, he not only descended as Christ, he descended as us. And he took captivity captive. Then when he rose again, he rose not only as him, he rose as those who would believe in him. And then it says he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The only thing the forces of darkness have left to operate with is intimidation, blackmail, manipulation, lies, and distorted illusions. Don't believe them. You have more power than they do. You are in Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. They are under his feet, who is the head over all the church. They don't have the right to even accuse you. The only power they have is the power you give them, or I give them, when I believe their lies, when I fall for their bluff, when I fall for their manipulation and their blackmail. Oh, you want to hide that from people, because if you don't hide that and people find out, they're not going to think you're a good Christian. And he blackmails us into silence and into shielding ourselves and hiding ourselves from each other instead of turning to each other and say, hey, I need help and support. Or he goes, I'm going to go before the throne and accuse you. Stripping away from them every weapon and all this spiritual authority and power to accuse us? Can the devil go before the throne still and accuse us? Not according to that, and not according to some other verses. He doesn't have that right any longer. Christ stripped him of that right. But if he can get you believing that he does, then he will get you into a works focus. Or if he can go before the throne and accuse me, then I better go before the throne and prepare a countersuit and present that to the Father so that he rules in my behalf. He has already ruled in your behalf. He's already ruled in your favor. But as Christians, we often don't know this. We read the verses and go, oh yeah, that's nice. And we don't stop to think, what does this actually mean for my life? Romans 8:33, which isn't up there. Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. So if the devil's been telling you lies and heaping condemnation on you, get the verses out. Use scripture like Christ did to come against him. So let's look now at New Covenant prophecy and intercession. 28. Oh, we're doing well. Yay. We access God's heart and intent. We come into agreement with the Godhead and join Christ and Holy Spirit in their prophetic intercession. We pray from the understanding that Christ taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't prophesy or intercede from an if it's your will mindset. Whoops. That should be we prophesy. New Covenant prophecy and intercession prophesies and prays from God's revealed will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we already possess what we have asked of him. And if your minds are anything like mine right now, you're going, yeah, but not all my prayers get answered. Scripture's either true or it's not. Sorry, guys. So New Covenant intercessory prayer is done knowing his will and knowing that he will do as he has promised. His revealed will is found in Scripture and it's found through prophetic revelation. You are now part of the best and most powerful prophecy and prayer team ever. Boom. Drop the mic. Sorry. It's the truth. You are. You're in Christ and Christ is in you. And what Christ is working toward is the same as what Paul said, that I can say it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I have become intercession. I have become prayer. Not just I say prayers. Like David in Psalm said, if our prayer is hard work or our intercession is hard work and doesn't feel like an easy yoke to bear, then we may be seeing it from an old covenant perspective, not a new covenant one. Not from the new covenant advantage in prayer that Christ has offered us as a new creation. That's why intercession is one of the most powerful and exclusive weapons of a believer's spiritual arsenal, because it's done in partnership with God himself. Seriously, like, you know, it doesn't get better than that. It's not all on you. You don't have to try and make a difference. You get to work with the one who makes the difference. As a righteous person, your prayers are powerful and effective. James tells us that. So how do we find the will of God? We access the reality that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places and have access to the heart and mind of the Godhead because we're in Christ. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. This is your starting place for prophecy, for prayer, for intercession. Christ's life, death, and resurrection gave you an inheritance in his incomparably great power and strength. Satan and his principalities and powers are now under Christ's feet. He triumphed over them at the cross, and because of that and the fact that you are in Christ, they are also under your feet. Satan is not as big and powerful as we've been led to believe. And there is a verse, and I don't have it in the notes, and I don't have it in my notes, but it says there will come a time when we will look on him and we will go, seriously? That's the guy that I thought had all that power? Satan picking a fight with God is about on the level of an ant trying to pick a fight with an elephant. It's like, yeah, one breath from God's mouth, and he would cease to exist. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Therefore, Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of God's grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in the time of need. That's your invitation to go to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is an actual place. It's an actual reality. And you are invited to approach the throne of grace anytime you need help. Your spirit operates beyond time. It operates beyond distance. It operates beyond the constraints of time and space and distance in Christ. Your present reality is you are at the same time able to operate from being seated with Christ in heavenly places and operate here on earth. Your spirit operates in two realms simultaneously. That's how it was created to operate. Adam and Eve, when we see in the garden, they walked in the spiritual realm with God and they walked in the earthly realm. They were face to face with God. There's this incredible verse in Hebrews where it talks about Moses, and he believed as seeing him who is invisible. Something like that it says. But the word seeing means to see face to face, but also to see internally in the eye of your mind. So sometimes Moses met with God and saw him with his natural eyes face to face. Other times he saw him in his mind's eye and met with him internally. It's brilliant. You have access to the throne room now and have received invitation to boldly access the throne of grace anytime you have a need. You don't need a special calling or gift. You don't need special keys to unlock revelation. Let me give you the 5 keys to unlocking revelation. Or if you're a seer, you can unlock revelation. It's open to everyone, even non-Christians. We think only Christians can hear from God. Where did we get that idea from? The reality is, if God had never spoken to you as a non-Christian, you would never be a Christian. Either he spoke to you and drew you through people, or he spoke to you personally. But we somehow, over time, take on this idea, oh, it's Christians who hear from God. I know a little 8-year-old non-Christian girl. She was going to a dance group that was run by a friend of mine, a Christian friend, who started having heavenly encounters. And one day at dance group, her normal group, kids from all over the town, she decided to share one of the heavenly encounters with them. And they said, can we go there? Could we see God? And she's like, God, can they? They're not Christians. And he said, don't stop the little children coming to me. And she's like, well, that just blows my theology out of the water. So she took them into an activation where these little 8-year-old kids went to heaven, half of them non-Christians. They had encounters with God that were profound. One of them came out and said to her, you know what Jesus said to me? He said, hell was never made for people. Hell was made for Satan. God doesn't want anyone to go there. This little 8-year-old non-Christian got the gospel better than some of us do. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at how This is important. People often ask me, do I have to go through the second heaven to access the third heaven? No, if you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, the third heaven is your starting place. You don't have to fight your way not to receive revelation for prophecy and not an intercession. You don't have to fight your way through the second heaven to get to the throne room, because you're already there. Your spirit has access, and it's unfettered access because you are in Christ. Is this a little bit exciting for you? It's like, I know, that's why I've given you notes. You access by faith, believing God's word and turning your heart and mind to receive revelation from God. Revelation comes from the throne of God into our spirit and is transferred to our soul and body through thoughts, through our senses, through the eyes of our mind, and through scripture. Oh, I do have that verse, so it's probably in your notes. Hebrews 11:27 about Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seeing means to stare at, to discern clearly, either physically or mentally. Cool, eh? Sorry. I get really excited about this stuff. Why? Because every encounter you have with God, you get to know him more. Every encounter you have with God, you get to plumb more of the depths and the treasure that is in him. His nature, his character, the promises that he gives you, and you get to stand in those. I put a post up on Facebook the other day, which some people have, what do you mean? Let me see if I can read it to you, actually, because, sorry, this is fun. Can you tell I like stirring things up just a little bit? Not stirring things up just to be deliberately stirry. No, must be my thumb that works. Ha! Look at that. New Lynn Packer. There are some songs that I love that I hate. You know? God, I'm desperate for you. It's like, seriously? As a Christian, should we be desperate for God when we're in him? Just saying. So I put this post up. Desperation for God is not a sign of devotion, love, or maturity. It's a sign of relational dysfunction and distance. You're only desperate for something you don't have. You're only desperate for your husband when he's been away for 5 weeks and you can't wait to see him again. But the one who never leaves you or forsakes you. New covenant language is the language of intimacy and desire, not the language of separation and desperation. Sorry, sidetrack. Back onto this. Okay, so let's look at the eyes of your mind very briefly. Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your mind, heart, or understanding, depending which version you read, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory and glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Ephesians 1 and many other scriptures show us that the eyes of our mind, heart, and understanding is what we know as our imagination. That word eyes of your mind in the original means the faculty of your mind or imagination. Your imagination is your God-given vision center, internal vision center. It is absolutely vital for you to be able to walk out your Christian life in victory, and it's vital for receiving revelation. Your imagination, or the eyes of your mind, is where all internal visual revelation is received from God. Your imagination is God-given. It's not evil. How many of you got drawn into that one? Oh, your imagination is evil. Your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful beyond all things. Did you know what the original version of that says? The heart of a man is deep, and his ways are also. So I could quite legally say to you, man, you're deep. Can our hearts deceive us? Yes, they can. Just as our imagination can be used for wrong things. But that's not what God gave it to us for. He gave it to us so that we could dream with him, and so that we could receive visual revelation in the eyes of our mind from him. So it's God-given. It has been sanctified in Christ. It's part of your sense of sight. It's a gateway faculty between the spirit realm and the soul. And it allows you to see spiritual realities and potentials, and natural potentials that may become your realities. In other words, you may have dreams, things you want to accomplish. Those can be spiritual realities and potentials, but they can also be natural potentials that could become your reality. That's why Jesus said, you know, that famous verse we quote sometimes, you don't have to actually commit adultery to commit adultery. If you look on a woman with lust, you've already gone there. So it's a natural potential that may become your reality. Or another analogy, we all know what a movie trailer is for. It's to promote desire to see the movie. It's the potential of a coming attraction. And it's designed to attract us to the thing it's showing us. That's how our imagination works, the eyes of our mind work. It's designed to attract us to the things it's showing us. If it's showing us the things of heaven, it's designed to attract us to them and for us to begin to walk them out. So another verse, 1 Timothy 4, 14 to 15. Paul says to Timothy, those prophetic words that have been spoken over you, meditate on them. That word meditate in the original means to frame up pictures in your mind. In other words, can you grab me one of those things? Sorry. Thank you. See yourself doing what God has spoken over you. See yourself doing it until you begin to walk in it and it becomes a reality. Those prophetic words that have been spoken over you, don't just sit back and wait for God to magic them into being. See yourself. Frame up pictures in your mind. I know a young man who was prophesied over by Patricia King, prophesied that he would speak before thousands in great crusades. Every day on his bed, He took this verse and he began to frame up pictures of his mind of stadiums filled with people and him preaching the word of God. And he did it day after day. And then eventually he got invited to speak. And then one day he's standing in the stadium and he goes, I've been here before. I know what's going to happen next. That person's going to get saved. That person's going to get healed of this. I saw this when I was daydreaming on my bed, framing up pictures in my mind of what it would look like to walk out the calling of God. And what he didn't know was that those daydreams, God was invading them and giving him views of his future. Maybe your daydreams aren't just imagination. Maybe some of your daydreams are actually views of your future that God is giving you. And you go, oh no, it's just my imagination. When Rob and I went to America to, we went to, originally to check out planting a church in America with some friends of ours. Got over there, went to the church that was going to be sending them out. Felt nothing. And when we were, knew we were going to America to check this out, we thought, oh, America, the land of conferences. We should go to a conference while we're there. So we looked online, and the only thing within 2 hours of where we were going to be was this weird thing called a glory school, held by a lady called Patricia King, who ran a ministry called Extreme Prophetic. And I'm like, how extreme's extreme? And then I thought, she's on the Elijah list. She can't be too bad. So maybe this would be good to go to. So we booked it. And as I booked it, this thing popped into my head, you're going to be working with Patricia. And I went, oh, that's just my imagination. That's not God. And I totally dismissed it. By the end of that weekend at that school, we were coming home to resign from our church in New Zealand and go and spend 6 months working as a volunteer in Patricia's ministry. And then we came back and started XP Ministries here in New Zealand and worked with Patricia for 10 years. But I dismissed it as my imagination. But it wasn't. It was something from God. So frame up pictures in your mind. See yourself doing what God has called you to do. Okay, so that's the end of this bit. Phew, you all go. That was a lot to take in. I'm sorry, but it's absolutely foundational stuff. So the rest of our time is activations. Okay. That went down well. Are you excited for some activations? We're going to do some throne room activations. So we're going to start in, before we do our first activation, this little activation. I want to show you how easy it is to see things in the eyes of your mind. So I would like you all, if you're okay with doing so, to shut your eyes. And I'm going to talk you through a little scenario. I want you to see your bedroom as you left it this morning. Oh yeah, you're seeing it. That picture may be very faint, or it may be more unknowing, or it may be very clear. It's still valid. See your bedroom as you left it this morning, have a look around it. Is there a lamp on the bedside table? What else is on the bedside table? Is your bed made or unmade when you came to church this morning? Are your clothes neatly hung up on the floor? Okay, now open your eyes. You will have all have seen at least some sort of internal picture. That's how easy it is to see with the eyes of your mind. It's not hard. If I asked you to imagine right now your favorite person in the whole world, you could shut your eyes and the eyes of your mind would form a picture. It may be clear or it may be faint. Doesn't matter. You're seeing with the eyes of your mind. So now we're going to do an activation. I said earlier that when you receive revelation from God, you can receive it through your senses, through scripture, through thoughts that come into your mind, through the eyes of your imagination, or you can see it clearly through an open-eyed vision. There are so many different ways that God can give you throne room revelation. It doesn't all have to be big and bold to be valid. And it doesn't have to be weighty and heavy. I had one person tell me, it's not a real throne room visit unless you are flat on your face, scared out of your pants, scared to look up in case you see God. That's one aspect of God, but he's also your father. So we're going to do a father activation. Now, for some of us, father has negative connotations. Did for me for many, many years until I started to experience the Father in seeing him in heaven. And I'll share this one with you. There was one time where we were in a worship time and all of a sudden I see myself sitting on the Father's lap in heaven. And I'm like, God, is this really you? Because you're not dressed in a long white robe. And it's not all spiritually looking, you know, like you expect the throne room to look. He's sitting there on his throne with shorts on. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, is this you? Yeah, it is. I know what you feel like. So why am I here? And I'm sitting on the Father's lap in heaven. And I'm me as an adult, but I'm like about 2-year-old size. And he's normal adult male size. And this is a kid, me, who from the time I was in my cot to when I was 16, was abused by my dad and my granddad. So Father God had negative connotations. And here he is sitting with bare legs. So that's a trigger thing for me. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I trust you. I trust you because I know who you are. You've proved yourself over time, time and time again. And so then as I'm just sitting there going, okay, God. God begins to grow. And I stay the same size. And he gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm starting to get a little bit nervous because, like, I'm now this little on Daddy's knee. And the pores in his skin start to increase until they become big gaping holes. And I'm sitting there nervous that I'm going to fall into one of these and be lost. And he keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, showing me how incredibly big he is. And then the thing that I feared came upon me. I fell into one of his paws. And I was surrounded by this darkness and safety. And I felt safe for the first time in my entire life. And I've never lost that feeling of safety. Now you think, why would God show you a picture of his paws getting bigger and bigger and you falling in? Because he was showing me an eternal truth that I have been grafted into the life of the Godhead. I am in Christ, in God. And in that place, I am eternally safe. I don't know what God will show you tonight or in the days ahead. But he wants to show you the reality of who he is and the reality of who you are in him. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to take us into a throne room activation. Whether that comes through him sharing with you a scripture or showing you something internally, it's still accessing the throne room. Does that make sense to you? You don't have to see visions for the reality of accessing the throne room to be true. He may give you a scripture. He may give you a feeling. We were doing a glory school one time, and this young man comes up to me and goes, "Well, I didn't get anything in the last activation." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Okay, tell me what was happening for you." "Well, I didn't get anything. God didn't say anything to me. I didn't get any pictures. I just felt like I was wrapped up in a big cotton wool ball of peace." And I'm like, "Okay, tell me that again." "Well, I didn't get anything. I just felt like I was wrapped up in this big cotton wool ball of peace." And I'm like, "You had an experience of the peace of God where you were wrapped around in the peace of God. That's a throne room experience, because that's God's heart and its intent for you, that you know that you are surrounded with his peace." And now that any time you need to feel that peace, you can go back into that experience and re-experience the peace. Why? Because your spirit operates beyond the constraints of time and distance. Any vision you've had from God becomes an entryway back into the heavenly realms for you. And you can go in and say, "Holy Spirit, show me more. Show me more." So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a throne room experience with the Father right now. And then we'll move on to some other activations that involve each other. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for the truth of the Word. We thank you for the Word who is Jesus, the living, active Word that works in our life. We thank you for the reality that we are seated with you in heavenly places right now. We don't have to do anything special to access that except turn our heart to you. That's all it takes. Position ourselves to hear from you, to see from you. So, Holy Spirit, the eyes of our heart, we want them to be opened by you so that we can see the glory of what God has for us. Open the eyes of our heart, open the eyes of our mind, open our imagination now to receive revelation from you. Show us the Father, Holy Spirit. Give us an experience of how the Father sees us, how he feels about us. We submit the eyes of our mind to you. We don't try and enter through soulless desire, but because this is your will for us. And now we position ourselves to receive from you. Margaret, can you put the Rivera's music on, please? Just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to open your heart and mind to the reality of the throne room. If you've had previous experiences, ask the Holy Spirit if you can use that experience to access. Okay, Margaret, yeah, down a little bit, thank you. If he's talking to you, interact with him. If he opens his arms, run into them. You have the right to be there. Okay, I'm going to ask you to become aware of this realm again. And as you do, take a moment to write down, if you've got a journal there, or a notepad, write down what God showed you so that you can go home and continue to process it through with him or go back into it if you need to. And for anyone wondering what this music is, it's a husband and wife team called the Riveras, Alberto and Kimberly Rivera. And this is from their album Captured. There are a couple that minister in prophetic worship and singing in tongues. And just some of my favorites. Now, some of you, Margaret, can you take that music down just a little bit more? Thanks. My voice is starting to get a bit. For some of you, you might go, was that really God? Ask him, yes or no, God, was that you? It's that simple. But what happens is often we see something and then our natural mind kicks in and goes, oh, I'm probably just imagining that. Yes, you are. You're imaging. You're imaging revelation from God. See, anyone who would like to share what God just showed them at all? You don't have to, but if you'd like to, yeah, darling, I'll come down.
Actually, for a while, many years back when I was like really, you know, seeking the Lord very strong, and God had given me a heavenly experience. So I tapped into that experience because I could relate with that experience. And that experience was, at that time, it was about 18 years back. I could still relate with that because it was so clear. I had seen lots of steps going up. And that time, I had only seen angels there. And right on top, there was a bright light. That's all I had seen. But today, I said, Lord, I want to go further in that because it stopped there. And after that, I never had that experience 18 years now. And now that pastor is saying you can tap in the revelation, Holy Spirit, can't I climb those steps? You know, I know it was imagination or it was, I don't know. Yeah, so first I thought like, you know, there should be angels there because it's heaven. So I imagined angels were running up and down the steps. And I was also running. I saw myself climbing, running up. Running, literally running up because there was thousands of steps. It was not a few steps. So I was running. And suddenly I reached the top and there was a bright light. As I told you, I didn't see anybody. I just saw a bright light. And I was in that light. And I saw myself disappear in that light. That way I felt God. I know it's my imagination, but I had asked the Holy Spirit, can I run up that steps? And I ran up. That's it.
Okay. So let me assure you, it's not you making something up. You actually saw the throne of God.
Yep.
And the thing is, you know, sometimes we don't see ourselves in, you know, what we think would be the right sort of clothes for heaven. We just come as we are. And you came as you are. And the reason you could access it is because in the spirit realm is beyond time. So what she experienced 18 years ago is eternally now in the spirit realm. It's as fresh and as vital today as it was back then. And so let me assure you, that wasn't your imagination. That was you disappearing into God. Yeah. So then ask him again. Say, Holy Spirit, as I lay down and go to sleep tonight, can you take me back in? Can you show me more what's in this light?
Yeah.
But he'll begin to show you. Yeah. And that's part of what the scripture tells us that it's like. You know, I had a friend one time say to me, I had this weird experience while we were worshiping. I saw myself inside this green. I was surrounded by green. What does that mean? I'm like, God, chapter and verse, please. You know, and go to him. Ask him to show you in scripture where that reality is, because it will be in scripture. And I said, God, what was the green she was surrounded by? And he said, she was surrounded by the emerald rainbow that surrounds the throne. I had another lady, she was 80, she came up to me and she said, can I tell you what happened to me? And this lady had been coming to several glory schools we'd done. And I said, yeah, I'd love you to tell me, like, yes, please, you know. And she said, well, I don't know where I was, but I could see the throne and I could see the Father sitting on the throne, but I was dancing with Jesus on an ice skating rink. And I said, tell me some more about this ice skating rink. What was it like? She said, well, it was like really clear. And I said, describe it a bit more. She said, well, it was like glass. And then she goes, oh, I was dancing with Jesus on the sea of glass, wasn't I? Like, uh-huh. But sometimes we don't know how to describe what we experience. And that's why I ask God to show you in the Word where it is, because it'll be there. So we're going to do our next activation. And this is going to be a prophetic prayer activation. So I want you to partner with someone. It can be someone you know or it can be someone you don't. It's up to you. Margaret, can you put the slides back up for me? And go to slide 17. Oh, yay. You are so flipping good. Okay, so pair up. Ask the Lord for a scripture promise for the person that you paired with. Tell them the scripture the Lord brought to mind and join with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in praying, not prophesying, in praying for that prophetic promise to come to pass over their life and release its reality from heaven into earth through your prayer. But the second part of this activation, privately asked the Lord, how long is this assignment to pray for this person for? Don't share it with the person, but do follow through with what the Lord asks of you. That assignment may end tonight at the end of this activation, or it may be for a week, or it may be until the Lord says you can stop now. So you're beginning to partner with the Lord in prophetic intercession and prophetic prayer. So always we ask the Lord, is there an assignment attached to this that is beyond this instance? This is particularly good when you're on altar calls and you're ministering to people. Because it might be that you just minister to them for a moment on the altar call, but you begin to carry them in your heart as an assignment from the Lord until you see the change manifest in their life. But it may be also that he asks you to do something practically in your ministry of reconciliation and your practical ministry of intercession to help see that change be established in their life. Maybe that you need to get alongside them and walk with them for a little bit. Because intercession in the new covenant is not just about saying prayers. It's about us partnering with Christ in his intercession for them, which isn't just him praying for them. It's him actively working to change, to bring change in their lives. Does that make sense? Okay, so find yourself a partner. Okay, if you're a married couple, maybe do split up and find someone other than your spouse to pray with. Okay, if you don't have a partner, stick your hand up. Okay, there's a lady here. If you can go with Ken. Oh, right beside her. Okay, Ken, can you go with Caleb down the back? Yeah, and I'll go with Margaret. If you can bring that to a close now, that would be great. Thank you. How many of you found it hard not to prophesy over them? Anyone? No? Good on you. Good on you. Okay, we're going to do another activation now. This is Jesus at work. Okay, that same activation, let me go back one. This same activation, take a photo of it because it's not in your notes. And this week at home, I'm going to set you some homework. Ask the Lord for a scripture promise for our church that you can begin to join Jesus and the Holy Spirit in praying into reality. Okay? Sorry? Okay, so the same activation, instead of pairing up with a person, ask the Lord to show you a scripture promise for our church and then begin to join Jesus and Holy Spirit in praying for that prophetic promise to come to pass in the life of our church. Okay. Right. So this one is Jesus at work in our city. Jesus is always at work, whether we see him doing stuff or not. Someone once said he's doing far more behind our back than he is in front of us. So he's always at work. The first time I did this activation, I didn't do it. I did it as a personal one. And you can do it as a personal one for yourself as well. I said, Holy Spirit, show me what Jesus is doing right now. And immediately I had an open eye vision of Jesus sitting on my sofa, and he had a yellow legal pad, and he was writing furiously on this pad. And I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm writing the inspiration for the other books that you're going to write. And I'm like, too much information, and I shut it down. Because I was writing my first book at that time, and it was hard work. And I was like, yeah, nah, don't want to know. So sometimes God will show you stuff that might be a little bit stretching for you, and your tendency will be to want to shut it down. If you can, stay in it, because in the end I had to go back and say, Holy Spirit, take me back there. And five books later now, and I'm working on my sixth one. And there's more in me yet. So, you know, who knows what's in you. So we're going to ask, we're going to pair up again. Ask Holy Spirit to show you where Christ is at work in the city, not where the devil is at work. Okay, it's very easy, and it doesn't take prophetic insight to see where the devil's at work. It really doesn't. But where's Christ at work? What's he doing, or what is he wanting to do in the city? And come into agreement, pray with each other, coming into agreement with that, and pray into it, releasing heaven into earth through your agreement with Christ's heart and intent. Okay, so find yourself a partner, and this will be the last one we do. Keep the slides on, though, if that's all right, Margaret. Find yourself another partner, a different partner. Now, in this, know that intercession doesn't always have to come with groaning, doesn't always have to come with weeping, it doesn't always have to come with birthing pains. Sometimes intercession can be quiet, and like Anne said this morning, intercession can be as simple as blowing on the works of the enemy like a puff of smoke, dispersing it. So pray as you're praying, as you're joining Jesus and Holy Spirit in their intercession in your times at home. Let them lead you. Don't think you have to look like anyone else. You don't have to look like Nawa. You don't have to look like Anne. You don't have to look like me. You don't have to look like Ruth. You get to be you. Darling, oh, you go, okay, good. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you. He might show you two different things. He might show you each something. But then just pray and release that. So I'll give you a couple of minutes just to wait on him. And then 5 minutes to pray. Once you've got something, feel free to share it. Okay, so again, you're accessing the throne of grace for revelation. Accessing the heart and mind of Christ. And this is as real as a trip, an out-of-body experience in heaven. Okay, this prayer, you're not pleading for God to do it. You're joining with him and you're declaring and releasing what he's doing and what he wants to do. All right. You can again ask the Lord that intercessory assignment, is it just for now? Or is it something he wants you to carry on? And is there anything practical that he wants you to do to partner with him in that area as well? So that we not only are praying, but we're being his hands and feet. And we are being intercession, not just saying prayers. Okay, well, officially that's the end. But if you want to know, I'm doing 14th, 15th November, I'm doing a two-night online course on unlocking the power of your sanctified imagination and how it works in receiving revelation from the throne, but also how it works in walking out your Christian life. So if you're interested in that, you can check that on our website. The other thing is next Prophet Night, I'm doing creative expressions in prophecy and intercession. So that's going to be a fun night where we just explore lots of different creative activations. So tell the men they need to come and have a good life.